I didn't plan on saying this, but the verse 5 here really speaks a lot to what we're going to be talking about. Weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought, but when I see thee as thou art, I praise thee as I ought. Tonight's going to be a simple message. You ever have an experience like a vacation or something that really impressed you? Maybe you went and saw the Grand Canyon. Maybe you had a marvelous dinner at a really great restaurant. And you come back and you want to tell somebody about it. You want to share that experience, right? And you might even encourage them. You might want to go to that restaurant. Or you might want to go to the Grand Canyon. It's crazy beautiful. You'll love it if you've never seen it. And so tonight is a little bit about that. I had an experience, or I'm having an experience that I want to share with you. And we'll see how that unfolds tonight. So imagine with me a beautiful, dark night. No clouds. You go out back and you look up and the sky is lit up with stars and planets. And you just go, whoa, wow. Interesting enough, Florida has some pretty gorgeous skies. And it makes you think of creation. It makes you think of God. If you're a Christian, your mind would go there just by beholding the skies with your naked eye. And then imagine you did that for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And you always go, wow. You're just gazing at the skies and just say that. And then during that time, you tell your family, man, I just can't believe how beautiful the sky is tonight. And you talk about it and you say, it always brings to mind God. And then one of your birthdays comes along and you open up a package and there's a telescope in it. Your family heard you and they saw that you kind of got excited and they thought maybe you'd appreciate that. So you get excited, you take the telescope, you go out back, you set it up. And actually, you plan a little bit and you say, all right, I never had a telescope. So you read about it and then you say, all right, what do I want to focus on? And you kind of think that through and then you go and look for the weather and you find the right night and you go and do it. And then you say, wow, wow. I didn't see that before. There's so much more. And you are even more impressed. So impressed that you start telling everybody that you, and so my golfing buddies in the golf cart hear me talk about sometimes these things, but you tell them, man, did you see the skies last night? And they know that you're really excited about that. And they said, you know, I know somebody that works in an observatory and I think I can get you in to see that. And sure enough, he does. And you get to go in. And you get to look through one of those high-powered microscopes. And tears start running down your eye because it's just mind-blowing, right? The color, the depth, so much more, so much more. And then you heard about the satellite, right? We know about Hubble and we know about the Webb satellite. And so you go online and you start looking at all these high definitions. And again, you're just amazed. You're amazed at what you're looking at. You're amazed at what's out there. It seems to be endless. And then you realize all those years, I was just going out back and I was just gazing at the sun or the skies. And I never saw all that. I never saw all that. I just saw what I saw. And it in itself was great. And so that's the journey. That's the journey. That's the thought process. And I want you to hold that in your mind. Now I need some help. I need some help. And I'm going to call on my accountant friend, Mr. Tom. Mr. Tom is going to count for me. And I know he loves numbers. He's like the, you know, on Sesame Street, the count, you know, he'll do it. Okay. So, Tom, I'm going to ask the congregation to tell me different names, titles, or descriptions of Jesus that come to mind. Don't look in your Bible. Don't look at your hymnal. That come to your mind. And I want Tom just to kind of tick them off in your head. And I know he could do it in his head. He doesn't need a piece of paper or anything like that. So just, this is a little interactive. I know this is unusual. We're a Reformed Baptist church. You know, we don't, but just a name, title, or description of Christ. Prince of Peace. Okay. All right. Good. Tom, roughly. I know accountants don't like rough numbers, but.
It was exactly 32.
I could count on my brother, Tom, to count. He does a good job of keeping score for me also when I go. Okay, 32. 32. And if we went on, we probably get it up. Maybe we might get close to 40, 45. I'm not sure. But that's rough, right? Did you know there's over 200 plus descriptions, titles, and names of Christ in the Bible? 200 plus. And when you say, well, why does it take so many names to describe Jesus, right? Describe Christ. And you get blown away by that. I don't know if I heard these because I don't hear very well, but here's just a couple. What about Jesus was called the morning star in 2 Peter 1:19. He was called the bright morning star in Revelation 22:16. How about star and scepter in Numbers 24:17? And I can go on and on and on. So the question is, how long have you been like me, gazing with your naked eye at Christ? I did that for a long time. I would honestly say I knew Christ. My experience recently, over the last year, is I knew Christ in my heart. I know the big names. I know who he is and what he's done and what he's done for me and why. But I didn't know all these. I read them. I don't remember them. I never studied them out. And that was the journey. An experience that really, really, really impressed me. And it humbled me. So I question, how many of us have been stargazers versus explorers of Christ? So what's in a name? What's in a name? Why is it important? If I called on Tom to do the counting and he didn't have a name or a number, hey, you, no, you over there, could you do this for me? Right? I wouldn't be able to refer to him. Or if someone told me something and they were wanting me to pray for them and share it with you, I couldn't even tell you their name. Someone just told me that they are going to have a surgery, right? So names are extremely important. They help us communicate. They help us understand. God, in Genesis 1, teaches us right right in chapter 1, he starts naming things. What's he say? Light is called day. Dark is called night. The expanse is called heaven. Dry land is called earth. The waters are called seas. God names, starts naming things. Then right after that, not too long after that, he tells Adam. Gives Adam the responsibility, gives man the responsibility. Name all the creatures that were created. Names seem to be important to God. He changes names. He takes a person's name like Abraham and he changes it. Why? Because he wanted it to mean something, tell something, represent something. Jesus changed names, right? So it appears to me that God thinks names are important. Romans 1:5, for the sake of his name among all nations, Romans 9:17, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth, Romans 15:9, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Names are important. They have meaning. They are tied to communicating information. They represent something, sometimes reputations. Let's try this exercise. I'm going to name some names, and something's going to pop in your mind, and I'll bet you we all have the same, especially us older folks. Some will come to mind when I say Gandhi, right? How about Adolf? I didn't even have to say Hitler, did I? Interesting. How about Lincoln? Ted Bundy? Winston Churchill? Spurgeon? Luther? Calvin? And now let's just go with initials. I'm not sure those guys back there will get JFK. We all know who JFK is, right? And for giggles, something a little bit more modern, something will come to mind. How about AOC? Ah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Names represent or mean something. So, the title of my message, and I'm not sure if it's so much a sermon as a message, is So You Think You Know Jesus. As mentioned before, there's over 200 plus names, titles, and descriptions of Christ. The reality is that Jesus Christ lives beyond each sacred name. He is bigger than each name and bigger than them collectively as well. I think this sums it up. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. It's hard to put it all into words, but the scriptures has given us a picture of who Christ is. And that leads me to my objective tonight. I had this experience, and so I'm suggesting and encouraging you and hopefully convincing you to take that journey, move from being a stargazer of Jesus to a hungry, thirsty explorer. Going from looking out at your backyard to the telescope, to the bigger telescope, to the ones out, and that kind of study, that kind of look into who Christ is. I want you to be like the wise men who followed the star of David until they found Christ and then they fell down and worshiped him. I want to use this principle. I want you to use this principle found in Psalm 77, verse 6. It says, let me meditate in my heart, then my spirit made a diligent search. I'm asking you to take a diligent search of who Christ really is in the Bible. Move from being a gazer to an explorer. Yes, We all know who Jesus is. If you're saved, we know who Jesus is. I would venture to say, after 40 years, I would have not thought that this study would have moved me as much as it has. 40 years Christian. Read my Bible many, many times. Taught Sunday school. And I still found myself going deeper and deeper and deeper into who Christ is by doing this study. It's amazing. And that's why I wanted to share it with you tonight. It started from a little book, a little devotional. I was preaching at Grand Living. I ran out of things to preach on. I was searching my book library, and I came across this little devotion, and I said, huh. So I opened it back up. It's actually a gift to my wife. And I read it. And I said, this would be good because here's the title. 100 Days with Jesus, a daily glimpse into the person of Christ. Huh. Thought that was pretty interesting. So let me share what the author said. What the author said in her introduction is by Diane Cotton. And this echoes really my sentiment. Just a couple lines here. The more I understood the reality of who Jesus is, the more astounded I became. Each day built on another. It culminated in me face down on my floor worshiping him. If we ever needed Jesus, it's now. And that's a true statement. One more line. And this is my prayer. My prayer for you is that you will worship him as never before, that you will gain a glimpse of his glory and his majesty through this study. We're not going to do this study tonight. We'll never get through 100 names. But I'm going to give you two primary reasons why you might want to embark on this study. God has created a portrait of Jesus for us to behold. He has done it with hundreds of names and descriptions and titles. It's a masterpiece to help us fully know who he is the best possible way. He took 200 plus names to help paint a portrait for us, a masterpiece portrait for us. And in that portrait, there's all different colors, shades, and tints. And I thought about color. Did you know there's only 3 primary colors? Red, blue, and yellow. Red, blue, and yellow. 3 primary colors. You can't mix anything to make red, blue, and yellow, but you can mix them to make hundreds of other colors. Did you know there's 120 different colors in a standard box of crayons? That's interesting. You go to a paint shop, and there seems to be thousands of colors, right? So it makes sense that this portrait that God has created, has put together with all these different names, is so beautiful. And it isn't just based on Jesus Christ, right? It's a plethora of color and names and titles to give us a full picture. Hebrews 1, the chapter in Hebrews 1 is a beautiful summary of who Christ is. This is right out of the beginning. God spoke, right? Hebrews 1, God spoke. So God the Father is telling us who Christ is in a very, very condensed way. It is the summary of all that I'm going to say is in that one chapter. But interesting enough, and then if you ever want to just be refreshed, read that chapter. That is an amazing chapter. But Hebrews 2:1 says this. Hebrews 2, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Right after that description, he says, therefore, you, that's us, must pay much closer attention to what we heard. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To me, the writer of Hebrews, and I think Pastor mentioned, and I think it's Paul, but we can debate that to the day we die. But the Hebrew writer, right after he describes Christ, calls to action, something we must do in response to that, right? And so that teaches me something. That taught me that pursuing Christ has to be intentional. It just doesn't, it's just not gazy, right? It's intentional. You must, right? So here's some of the words that I pulled from those two verses. Words like, pay much closer attention. Lay aside. Let us run with endurance, looking to Jesus. This is an intentional activity in our hearts to pursue and know Christ. Why? We know what the story and or what the Hebrew writer was doing. He was trying to get them from drifting, right? Getting them to follow and fall back to Judaism. And so to stay the course, we need to keep our minds and hearts focused on Christ. How about Colossians 3:17? Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Romans 8:29. Be conformed to the image of His Son. How often have you heard that? How often have you heard that statement? A lot. 1 Corinthians 10:33. At the end of the verse, Paul says this, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are transformed into the same image. How? By beholding the glory of the Lord. Now let me ask you. Most of us have had kids, and maybe you can, if you haven't, you can relate to this. You're sitting home, your child comes by you and say, hey, go clean your room before you go out. Right? Simple thing. Go clean your room. No problem. Got it, Dad. Got it, Mom. They go and do it. An hour later, you see them and you say, hey, did you get that done? And they say, yeah, I got it done. Let's go take a peek. They open the door. It's not to your liking. It's not to your standard. Right? They did, you know, they picked up, but it's really not, right? So how do you get a better result? What if you said, come on, son, come here, honey. We're gonna clean the room together. We're gonna clean the room together. When we're done, that's what I'm expecting next time, right? And so you do that. And then you take a picture. And you put that picture on their closet door. And you say to them, now that's what clean looks like. Now, the next time they do it, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be just like that. But it's going to be a lot better. And it's going to be closer. Now, what if God did this? What if God said, be like Christ? But He didn't give us anything else. He says, just be like Christ. Follow Jesus. Be like Him. Imitate Him. But He did. He gave us a picture. And this picture is painted with all these names and titles and descriptions. And we will get a better result. We will be more like Christ if you could get that full focused picture of this masterpiece in your mind and your heart. Yes, we've gotten it bits and pieces over the years through reading the Bible. I'm talking about putting it on these four corners to the best you can from these names. And if you could do that, you're going to get a better result. We are going to be more like Christ if we strive to be look like Christ. And so that's the difference, right? We can do it the way we've been doing it, or we could take the time, do a deeper dive into these names, paint this portrait that God has given us so that we have this image in front of us that is just bursting with color, bursting out, telling us more and more how to be like Christ. So the first reason, my first reason for you to do it is, yes, we know Christ. I thought I knew Christ, but I'm telling you, if you pursue this, as I would suggest in a minute, you will go deeper and you will experience something that you've never experienced before. Now, some of you may have done this. I haven't. And I'm telling you, it is well worth the study. And so, does a study like this help us keep this command? In 1 Colossians 2:6, therefore, you received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. How are we going to walk as God, as the Bible, as our Father has prescribed us to follow and be like Christ if we don't have that full picture? I think we get a better result. I know through my study, and I'm only on about 75th name out of this book. But I've taken those every week and preached a sermon at Grand Living on a name, one or two, mostly one. And that study is what I'm talking about. It's not the sermon. What it took me to get to the sermon by taking that name and studying it, going deeper and deeper and trying to really get a grasp of why did God use this title, this name, in this context? And that's the difference. Reason number two. Every aspect of our walk in this world, both physical and spiritual, is better when we imitate Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Is not our prayer life better? Our worship, our evangelism, our charity, our devotions, our response to temptation better? How about, are we not better fathers and mothers if we imitate Christ? Sons and daughters, church members, pastors, deacons, employers, employees, citizens, neighbors? Wouldn't we be better in every aspect of our lives if we were more and more and more like Christ? Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's my second reason. My first reason was get a full picture. Not a piecemeal picture. Get a full picture. Use that as your constant attraction to I need to be like that. And then the second one is it will have great effect in every aspect of your life. It'll affect it positively in every aspect of your lives. Brothers and sisters, it would be great for me to do a study on what heaven would be like. Try to figure it out, or what the end times would be. Those are good studies. I agree. But would it not be better to know the one who made it possible that we will be in heaven? Or to know the one who is the reason I want to get to heaven? That's a great study. What am I saying? Could there be any more worthy study than this? I know you're busy. I know that you've got a stack of books you want to get through. I understand that. I'm trying to encourage you to do this, and I'm going to give you some tips. A study like this will take you off the back porch, just gazing at the stars. It will add color to who Christ is in your life. It's a study that will draw you deeper and deeper into the depth of who Christ Jesus is and what he has done for us. It's a study with purpose and intentionality that leads you to fall down and worship our Almighty God like never before. It's a study that could awaken a dull soul. It's a study that ultimately glorifies God by having Jesus in you and Jesus in you in him. Brothers and sisters of like precious faith, we are facing unprecedented evil around us. I can't think of a better way to prepare ourselves for what's coming at us than to be more like Christ. So here's the challenge. It's intentional. 100 names by Christmas Day. Study 100 names by Christmas Day. That's roughly 45 some weeks from now. 2 a week, roughly. Let Christmas Day be a wonderful celebration. So intentionality. Have a goal. I'm going to do this. I'll reach the goal by Christmas. Go through 100 names. Don't do a drive-by study. Look it up. Look at the words. Find where the same name was used somewhere else. Look at the context. Meditate on it. Read a sermon or a commentary on it. Then ask yourself, how do I apply that to me? Am I being like that? What's the application to me? Tell someone what you learned. I do that when I drive around on a cart every so often. I'm doing a study for the sermon and it's a different name. I'll share that. Tell somebody else what you've learned. When you know you have to tell someone else, you will know it better. See, I'm going longer than I thought. Some quick tips. If you have a family still and you're doing family devotions in the home, and you can do it husband and wife, it speaks the gospel every single time. You touch on Christ, you are going to hear the gospel. It is a wonderful study for a family devotion. You could buy the book, and I would recommend that if you did, go deeper, but it is a good springboard to the study. I have a handout. There's 100 names listed on there and all the scripture verses that they are. And you could take it, if you want it, and just use it as a checkoff chart. I got that done. I got that done. Am I going to reach my goal? And don't do it just to reach the goal, but do it with intentional activity. You could organize the names into things like all the names that relate to his nature, or all the names that relate to his divinity, or all the names that relate to his work on earth. You do it however you want. These are a few suggestions on how you could get through a study of 100 names by Christmas Day. Not everybody here is a believer. That's a sad fact. We know that. I'm going to steal something from the book of John. Chapter 1. Philip just became or was selected to be a disciple of Christ. He was brought into the fold. And he sees Nathanael and he says, "We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah." His name is Jesus of Nazareth. So he's telling this to Nathanael. And Nathanael says to him, "Anything good ever come out of Nazareth?" He's like, "Really?" You found the Messiah. I mean, that was the attitude, right? You know what Philip said to him? So, the unbeliever. You know what he said? Come and see. He didn't tell him anything. He just said, come and see. If you're not a believer today, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you also. Do the study. At the end of the study, you will know the Christ Jesus of the Bible in its full picture. Not through sermons, not through tuning it out. You will take the time and do the study for yourself. And I hope and I pray, like Nathaniel, after he met Christ, what did he say? He said, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. My desire is that you take the same challenge I just gave Christians. And at the end, my hope, my desire, my heart says, you will know Christ. You might still reject him, but at least reject what you think you know. So, I'm going to close tonight. And I did pretty good, time-wise. I'm going to close by reading the 100 names of Christ. It won't take long. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. Yes, it's kind of like a flyby. Yes, it is gazing. But it's just a little bit of what it could be like if you just took the time to go through it. Move from being a gazer of Christ to an explorer. Take the time. It's well worth the study. Let this sink in. Jesus is an advocate, almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the author and perfecter of faith, a baby, beloved son, blessed and only sovereign, the bread of life, bridegroom, bright morning star, carpenter, chosen one, Christ, Christ Jesus, consolation, cornerstone, deity, deliverer, door, eternal life, exact representation, expected one, faithful and true, friend, gentle, good teacher, great God, great high priest, great shepherd, guardian of your souls. Meditate on that one. Head of the church, healer, his servant, holy and righteous one, humble. Jesus is what? The I Am. Image of God, Emmanuel, indescribable gift, intercessor. Jesus is Jesus. Judge, King, King of Kings, Lamb, Life, Light, Lion, Living Stone, Living Water, Lord, Lord God Almighty, Lord of Glory, Lord of Lords, Majestic One, that's an amazing one, Man, Man of Sorrows, Mediator, Merciful, Messiah, Mighty God, minister in the sanctuary, my Lord and my God, my servant, Nazarene. You didn't think you can get anything out of that one? Go study it. Passover Lamb, physician, peace, Prince of Peace. The $1,000 word, right? Propitiation. Radiance of His glory, ransom, redeemer, reconciler, resurrection and the life, risen one, rock, ruler, savior, servant, shepherd, sinless. Son of David, Son of God, Son of man, Son of Mary. Son of the Blessed One, Son of the Most High. Source of eternal salvation. Sower. Star and scepter. Sunrise. Teacher. True vine. Truth. Unchangeable. Way. Wonderful counselor. Word. I just read 100 names, descriptions, or titles of Christ. I'm encouraging you, do the same study. Christmas Day, you will rejoice that you did it. Let's pray. Our Holy Father, we're so grateful that you gave us this wonderful portrait of Christ in your word, and you preserved it over the centuries so that we can behold your Son, our Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that we would go further and further into we explore all the different angles and names and who you are, what you've done, your nature. It is an amazing blessing that you've given this to us. I ask that you would have your Spirit upon all of us that have heard this encouragement and or challenge. Pray, Father, that you would get glory and honor in all that we do in this pursuit. Have mercy, Lord, upon us. We need you more than ever, and we need to be more like you. Guide us now. Continue to watch over us. Help us to go home and be safe and just to bask in the wonderful day that you have given us to worship you. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.